Dads are great that way. They teach us things that are powerful, and some we carry with us through our whole life, and they're very useful, and others are just bad jokes. But to be a legendary dad, you've got to be one who's going to impart your life into the lives of others. And what I want to talk about this morning is legendary dads, but don't tune out. I know some of you right now are going, well, I'm not a dad, so I don't have to listen this morning. Or I'll never be a dad. I'm a woman. I'm not going to be a dad, right? But really, you're getting three sermons for the price of one this morning, and one of them will relate to you. The first is the obvious sermon. We're going to talk about kind of seven key things about being a father, just a biological father like we're celebrating on Father's Day. But the second sermon is going to be about our Heavenly Father. Because all of those things that make us a truly legendary father are the things that we're echoing our Heavenly Father. And you might even be someone here this morning that's thinking, I had a terrible father, but you have a perfect father if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And you need to learn about your perfect father, because your imperfect father, how bad or how good he was, does not perfectly reflect the Heavenly Father, but the Heavenly Father is perfect. Third sermon is about spiritual fathers. A spiritual father is someone who's willing to invest in the spiritual life for someone who's coming along behind them. And they could be male, they could be female. I know Paul said, don't call anyone father, but Paul also said, I know you have many, tutors, I believe is the word, well, he's the Greek word, but many tutors, but not many fathers. He said, we all have people who are willing to tell us stuff about God. But do we have people who are willing to invest their lives into us? And he's saying, I want to be that for you, to those he wrote to. And he encourages us to be that for other people. And you don't have to be a man to be a spiritual parent, to be a legendary spiritual parent, because every one of us needs that. So three sermons for the price of one. How can you go wrong? That's a Father's Day sale. So we're talking about legendary dads. And I'm going to talk about seven principles of legendary kingdom parenting. First principle, give life. Dads give life. That's how you become a dad, right? There's I won't go into the birds and bees right now, but you understand that there's a process there where you've given life to another person. I don't have to talk a lot about that to biological dads, because if you're a biological dad, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. That was the easy part. But I want you to recognize that our Heavenly Father is the source of all life. And that's the way in which dads reflect that, is this idea of giving life. And I would say as a spiritual parent as well, a couple of weeks ago I talked about what does that spiritual health look like, and one of the ones from Mrs. Gren, remember? Mrs. Gren, anyone remember any of those from the letters? Anyway, what? You're looking at the note. Oh, that's cheating. Okay. Feeling bad, wasted sermon. Okay. But we talked about movement, the seven signs of life. Movement, respiration, stimulation, our response to stimuli. Any others? Excretion. Anyone remember excretion? I figure that was the one everyone would remember, especially the diaper people. What else? Nutrition, what we eat, right? And kind of the one we closed with was, anyone? Reproduction. Healthy living things reproduce. Healthy spiritual things reproduce. We reproduce spiritually by evangelism, by speaking the truth of God's word into other people's lives. And a big part of being a spiritual parent and becoming a spiritual parent is doing that at some point. Now, I realize there's people you're going to spiritually parent that came to Christ before they met you, but I hope before they throw dirt on you that you've had the opportunity to lead someone to our Lord Jesus Christ, or to have them come to Jesus Christ with you being part of the team, you speaking into their life. So maybe you weren't the one that said the prayer with them, but your life invested into them, turn that around. So that whole giving of life, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, as I talked about, for if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. So if we want to be a legendary spiritual parent, we want to speak the gospel into the lives of others. God the Father, the ultimate legendary father, created is the gospel. And biological fathers, that's part of being a dad too, speaking the gospel into our children. There's too many Christian parents in our country today that are not raising their own kids spiritually. They're letting someone else do it. There's too many parents, period, that are letting someone else raise the kids. But spiritually, yeah, Sunday school is great, and all those programs are great. But ultimately, shouldn't we be the ones who are speaking the truth of God's word into our kids in some way, shape, or form, whatever that looks like? 1 Thessalonians 2:8, having so fond an affection for you that we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. Here Paul is telling Thessalonians, I not only brought you the message of the gospel, but my very life. So when we say give life, not just the gospel, not just, you know, begetting, but give of your life. We're called to share our lives. God, in the form of Jesus Christ, came down and pitched his tent among us and dwelt among us and walked among us. He shared his very life. Fathers, spiritual parents and biological parents, we need to share our lives with our young people, because our kids learn more from our life than from our words. That thought terrifies me. Does it terrify you? I always go through life praying, God, make my wife, you know, my kids like my wife. You know what I mean? You know, or if they're going to be like me, let them be like me in the good things. I've got a mixed bag, I think, but I think it's spending your time, it's letting them look into our lives, and it's not putting up a veneer of perfection, by the way. Sharing your life means sharing your life. Our kids need to see how we deal with junk. I need to see how my dad would deal with a soda machine eating the quarter, how my dad would deal with the boat filling with water. Were those his most shining moments? You know, like I forgot I put let oil, getting, I didn't clean out the boat plug hole. No, that's a dumb thing, which he'd probably prefer I didn't share with my entire congregation. But it teaches you something. How does your dad react when things go crazy? Those are things we need to learn. And dads, we need to be cultivating in ourselves. We need to be becoming the dad that we want to be. None of us are the dad we want to be, but we need to become that dad. Spiritual parents, none of us are the spiritual parent that we want to be, but we need to be becoming that. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What's going on? This is way back in Deuteronomy saying, parents, it's up to you. And it's not just, yes, teach them diligently, but don't just teach them diligently in the Sunday school classroom, by the way. It says, when you sit down in your house around your meals. Meals are so important, by the way. Parents, if you're not doing it, have dinner with your kids. There's research out there that says when families eat together regularly, it has a massive impact on the success of those children in life. There's no getting around it. So at the table or sitting on the way, you know, when you're out in the boat and it's sinking, all those different ways we want to be, have our kids around us so they can see the gospel playing out in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:2-3 says, you are our letters written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Your life is a letter, and it's being inscribed on the hearts of your kids, whether you're a biological dad or a spiritual parent. So we need to be aware. Second thing, God Legendary dads give life. Legendary dads give identity. They give identity. Obviously, genes are passed on. If you look at my father, you look at me, you go, I could see that. If you look at my kids and you look at me, you go, oh, I could definitely see that. I made one model, you know, we just look good, let's make another. I can make fun of them because they're not here. But beyond just the genes that are passed on, our lives, again, shape who they become. You know, partially I say dumb jokes because my dad genetically is my dad. Partially I say dumb jokes because my dad said dumb jokes. You know, and so our identity comes to them. How many of you have ever, you know, been talking once and suddenly you heard your parents' words come out of your mouth and you tried to grab them? You wanted to grab them and get, you went, no, and put them back in, but it was too late. They were out there. And you said, when did it happen? When did I become my dad? It's been happening all along. When did I become my mom? Kids, you're going, what? That's going to happen, really? There's terror on your face. Yeah, it's going to happen. But we need our identity. All believers, we receive our identity from our Heavenly Father. You are not what you do. You are not what you own. You are not where you live. You're not what you vote. You are what your Heavenly Father said you are. You're a child of God. And as humans, we often believe that what we are what our fathers say are what we are. It's a very powerful thing. Spiritual parent or biological father has an impact on us. If your father your whole life said, you're going to be a success, you're going to be a success, you're going to be a success, that impacts you. You begin to believe it. If your dad your whole life said, you're never going to amount to nothing, your whole life, you begin to believe it. Thank God that the Heavenly Father's word about who we are trumps what our imperfect dads said who we are. Scripture says, and behold, a voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God exemplifies that with Jesus. He says, "This, I'm giving him his identity. He is my son, and I am well pleased in him." And then John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." We are children of the King of the universe. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about that picture of John F. Kennedy with his kid playing under the desk. And in that generation, probably everybody was like, man, that kid's got the coolest place to play in the Oval Office. What a cool dad he has. Our dad outranks his. Amen? So he allows us to be his kids. 1 John 3:1-2 says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called the children of God, and for such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. We turn into our biological parents, but according to this, we're going to be like our spiritual father. Spiritual parent, that's a call to us too, is we give identity to those that we're spiritually parenting. We remind them who they belong to, the Heavenly Father. But we also speak into their life and tell them who we are. Just like the things my dad would say to me and about me, I believed, whether or not they were things to believe, there's things that spiritual parents of mine over my lifetime have spoken into my life that have put me where I am right now. People who said, I see this in you. This is who you are. There's not a single one of us that doesn't need that. And there's not a single person that you come across that's a follower of Christ that doesn't need that. We need to be a people that speak into the lives of others and say, I see this. You know what? The best place to find out your spiritual gifts is not in one of those assessments. They're useful, but the best place is when the people in the congregation that you live with and serve with come up to you and go, John, I see this in you. And when 5 or 6 of us start saying, John, I think you would be great at this, you know what starts happening? He starts believing it. Now, let's not take that information and use that in any kind of cruel joke. You know, John, modeling. No, just kidding. We're called to give life. We're called to give identity. We're called to give protection. Dads protect. I was reading, and there's a study that says, all the special features of an adult male's personality developed from boyhood, his muscles, his willpower, his stamina, his competitive drive, his aggressiveness and assertiveness, mathematical and abstractive powers of mind, love for strategic planning and manipulating physical reality, strong sense of fairness and ethical conduct, all coordinate towards a single great purpose in life, protection. Now, we live in a day and age where they want to tell us that there's no difference between men and women. But when you read that list, if you've raised children, you know. You know there's a difference. We are wired to protect. Now, sometimes that plays out badly, sometimes that plays out well. But we are wired to protect. And in nature, it seems, endows men with the physical and mental powers they need to protect their loved ones. And we have an instinct to protect them from harm. It lies at the core of a man's masculinity. As we grow, some men, our masculinity gets twisted, and this is why we go, well, what about that guy? He didn't protect who he should have. That's because something was broken within him at some point, and we see that abuse is a cycle that gets passed on generation to generation. And so we want to break that cycle and move past that. This past week, I threw out a question. We're getting youth ministry going here in our church, and I'm helping with that. And I've spent a lot of time in youth ministry, starting in college. And I've worked full-time with Youth for Christ for 5 years as a director for Central Connecticut. I worked full-time as a youth pastor for 5 years. And then on and off in churches I've been where they didn't have someone on staff to do that, I've stepped in. And I got thinking, I'm like, well, I did a lot of stuff over the years. What really worked? I mean, at this point, I got people, there are people alive that were in my youth ministry that are middle-aged. It wounds me. It wounds me to know that. But so I was like, I got a lot of them on Facebook. Let me throw out this question on Facebook and just say, you guys are all a part of my ministry in one way, shape, or form, whether it be in college ministry at Norwich University or at Youth for Christ or in this church or that church. I want to ask you this question. In what ways was your life impacted, and how, if at all? And there was a lot of interesting feedback and things that people remembered, and some people didn't get the question at all, and all that kind of thing. But one guy's answer was very interesting. He shared some things. He's actually an Alliance pastor now in Minnesota, which is really cool. It's, you know, for me, that's payday. That's payday. It's not getting like, oh, I can brag to my fellow youth pastors, I got this many kids in my group. No, it's one of them becomes a pastor, a parent, a missionary, a mayor. I got a mayor. Those of you going on a Vermont trip will probably meet the mayor of Montpelier, the capital of Vermont, my youth group kid. That's actually the eighth one. Fathers brag about their kids. But what he said was, he kind of listed some things, and he said, I also remember you getting mad once and only once, and it was justified. Someone was picking on one of your boys when he was very little, and you let him know in an appropriate way that that was not even a little bit acceptable. And it was a very helpful picture of our Heavenly Father. I don't even remember that happening. You don't know how you're impacting those around you. And it's powerful because I know that this young man, who's now a pastor and a father himself, came from a very dysfunctional family. And I don't know that he got that picture from his own dad. And so the fact that he got that picture is powerful. So that picture of protection, we want to protect them, but not insulate them. Let me say that. Sometimes in Christianity, we go, oh, the world's a bad and evil place, and we try to insulate our kids from every single thing. And that's not protection. See, I protected my kids when they're little so I could raise them up healthy and strong so that now, as adult males, they can protect themselves and those they love. And they can. I would not recommend messing with any of my sons or people they care about, particularly the armed ones. That's what we're called to do. I heard one preacher say, we're not called to prepare the road for our kids. We're called to prepare our kids for the road. Someday they're going to be out of your protection. So prepare them. Part of protecting is preparing. And certainly, I want to say that dads pray for their children. Our Heavenly Father protects us, to be sure. Scripture talks about that. It says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. It's 1/6 of the Lord's Prayer, right? Deliver us from evil. It's a protection thing. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We need to, as legendary spiritual parents, be investing in those we parent so that they can protect themselves. And we want to speak out and point out to them where the enemy is coming up behind them. And there's not a single Christian I know alive anywhere in any level of leadership that doesn't need another believer to point to their blind spot sometimes and tell them where the enemy is sneaking up, because he does. He's been doing it for a long time. You might think, oh, I'm a very old and mature Christian. I've been walking with the Lord for a long time. The devil's been taking people like you down much longer than that. We need to pay attention. Acts 20:28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. This is speaking to people in an official capacity, but I believe God, every Christian is a sheep from the front and a shepherd from the back. You might be a shepherd to just one little baby, but you're a leader. And so, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. We need to help those up. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be also false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even defying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. James 5, my brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. 1 Chronicles 29:19, and give to my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do them all, and to build the temple for which I have made provision. See, we have this idea of God protects us. We, as fathers, are called to protect our kids. We, as legendary spiritual parents, are called to protect those who we are spiritually parenting. Part of that, we see, is this idea of prayer. This is David's prayer for his son Solomon. Give to my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and statutes, and to do them all. And then to do his life work. Is that not every parent's prayer for their child? Lord, give my son, give my daughter a heart for you to follow your laws and to live out their destiny that you've called them to. Whether they're your biological children or your spiritual children. Man, that is what we're called to do, to pray like that every day for our kids. Number four. Dads give provision. God, our Heavenly Father, of course, it provides. You know, I know in our day and age, it's a little backward to think of dads as the breadwinner. But also our day and age sees more deadbeat dads than any time in history, perhaps, at least in our culture. And we need to remind that God, the perfect Father, models being a provider. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He models it. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the Father and is worse than an unbeliever. We are called to imitate our Heavenly Father by being a provider for those in our family. Does that mean I have to be the head provider? Does that mean that my world is rocked, I'm a bad Christian because my wife makes more than me? No, I'm fine with it. I'm like, make twice as much. I'll just be a kept man. I'm good. Then I don't got to charge you guys. You can pray towards that. But anyway, this is not, God isn't messing around. Do you see the how serious God is about this in this passage? He's not just saying, hey, make sure you take care of your family. It's a good thing. He's going, if someone doesn't take care of their family, he's denied the faith and he's worse than an unbeliever. Like, what does that look like? Jeremiah 3:15, "Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you on knowledge and understanding." Spiritual parents, we're called also to be providers. We're called to feed and to speak the word of God into people. Give them access. You know, when I was with Youth for Christ, one of the things they said is, it is a sin to deliver a spiritual baby and then abandon them on the delivery table. And how many times does ministries and churches do that? We just want to rack up the convert points, and then we don't properly disciple them. We don't do that. If we do that with babies, we throw people in jail for that. Just bring them into the world and then leave them on their own. You don't do that. I see a dad right here. He's holding his son. He's going, I got to change that diaper. It's feeling a little squishy, a little warm. I'll wait till the end of the sermon. No, we are called to be spiritual parents. We are not called to simply be spiritual birth givers. We're called to provide, to direct them to good food, to meet real needs. And it's not just, we don't want to just give them Bible verses, and then if they're hungry, say, good luck with that. We want to also meet real needs. Number five, give discipline. Word discipline means to teach, instruct, train, educate. It does involve punishment at times when necessary. Sometimes you see discipline in Scripture and we think, oh, that's all it means, but it's a bigger picture. It's only that kind of either punishment or correction for the sake of teaching. Discipline comes from the same word as disciple. We're called to make disciples. God the Father makes disciples of him. As dads, we're called to teach our children. Our children should be disciples of us. And as legendary spiritual parents, we're called to make disciples of others. Even Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Proverbs 3:11 and 12, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. The Lord absolutely disciplines us. He is an example to fathers. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as father corrects the son in whom he delights. Discipline is an expression of love. And that's how we discern the difference sometimes between discipline and abuse. Abuse tends to come out of a heart of anger, and discipline comes out of a heart of love. That's one of the kind of litmus tests for me as I fathered three boys who often solicited percussive adjustment. For those of you who don't know what that is, but I always ask, am I going to spank this child out of love and a desire to correct, or am I going to spank out of anger? If I was going to spank out of anger, I always walked away until I was ready to do it. Well, I always tried to walk away. We won't go there. But that's what we're called to discipline out of love. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, some parents beat the heck out of themselves over this, by the way, because they see their kids not walking with the Lord, and they're going, what happened? You know, it said, train up a child, and they will not depart from it. What happened? I believe that's kind of a misinterpretation of the verse, but really with the essence of the verse, it's talking about, we just planted a dogwood tree. The ash borers killed the ash tree in front of our house. We planted this little, it's about this tall now and about thickness of my pinky, but we put a stick next to it, and we put a zip tie to protect it, to keep it from getting knocked over. But as it grows, we stake it, and we will clip it. And mostly Karen will do all that. But she's the gardener in the family. But I help plant it. All right, let's just move on. Anyway. But with a plant, you know, and you see it even more with those Japanese bonsais, right, where they take a little plant, and they craft it, and they tie it, and they twist it and turn it, and they want to make it look into like a giant big old tree when it's really a tiny little plant. And that's kind of the image that we're talking about. If we train up our child the way it should grow, you're forming your child as you go, and it's not just teaching them, giving them lessons verbally, but it's everything you do is shaping them. And yes, there are other forces in the world shaping them. This is not a guarantee. Don't look at it as a guarantee. Parents used to come up to me as a youth pastor and say, my teenager's doing this and doing this. What did I do wrong? And I would say, well, Adam and Eve had a perfect dad in the garden, and they rebelled. So what did he do wrong? Gave him free will. So unless you plan on making your kid a robot, which you can't, you know, we need to understand that our children will do what they will do, but if we form them along the way, that is going to have an impact. And if they do rebel, they're going to have to work at it. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is a calling for us. And when it says don't provoke your children to anger, now I understand, like, anyone who's a parent of a teenager is going, wait, you want me to discipline and instruct them and not make them angry? How's that going to happen? What it's really saying here is don't exasperate your children. Don't parent in such a way that they feel like they can never, ever please you. That you've raised the bar to where they feel like a failure all the time. That's what it's talking about. And so we want to be the kind of people who are teaching them, but we're coaching them. We're helping them to succeed, not saying, this is what success looks like. There, I taught you. Good luck. And then beat them up when they don't make it. That's not what we're called to. That's not what the Heavenly Father does with us, is it? James 1:22, but prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Us, legendary spiritual parents, legendary dads, We need to not only hear the word and say the word, we need to do the word. We need to live the word out in our lives. Our kids are watching. Other believers are watching. Everyone's watching. They're watching, and things stay with them. They carry through their life that you don't even remember happening, like with my friend. We need to live it out. That's where the teaching most happens. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, Ephesians 5:1. Deuteronomy 6:69, we looked at already. But these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and shall be as frontals on your forehead. The Jews did some weird things, and they decided to take this literally, and so they would make a little scroll of the word of God. They roll it up, put it in a box, and strap it on their head. I think they missed the point. Let's us not miss the point. Is that we're called to let our lives be a constant lesson. It says, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Let your home be a place that preaches the word of God. How does your house? Is your house just full of every luxury to make you happy? Or is partly your house set up in a way to minister to other people, to bless other people? Kids are watching that. Are you all about blessing yourself? Or are you all about blessing others? Your kids are watching that. Galatians 6:1, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you are spiritually restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Spiritual parent. We're called to be restoring, to discipline. We Christians really hate to discipline other Christians, but we're called to do it. I mean, it's all over Scripture. It just simply is. There's all these one another commands, and some of them are to correct one another, to exhort one another. We're called to do this. We're afraid. Oh, I don't want to appear judgmental. I don't want people to think I'm holier than now. Well, sometimes you are. The point isn't to make yourself look holier than thou. The point isn't to make yourself look better by talking to them. The point is to make them better. To do that with gentleness and humility. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another. Anyone admonish anyone lately? We need to be admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Number 6, give blessing. A father's blessing, we've talked about it already. It's a powerful thing. Our Heavenly Father certainly blesses us in so many ways. Matthew 3:17 says, and behold, a voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I will well please. The Father exemplified this with Jesus. He gave his blessing. He said, this is who my Son is. This is what he's worth. And this is what he's going to do. And we need to do that as fathers. Son, this is who you are. This is what you mean to me. This is what you're going to do. Dads, and I'm guilty of this. We don't tell our kids we love them nearly enough. I'm not good at complimenting my wife and kids. I have to be very intentional about it. I'm just not good. I'm good at bragging about them to you when they're not around, but I'm not as good about bragging to them about them. And that's my issue that I'm working through with the Lord, but I know that I'm called to do that, that I am called to tell my kids that they're valuable, that they matter to me, that I love them, and that they have a future. And I'm called to say, this is what I see in you, and this is what I see God doing with you. And whether you are a biological father or a spiritual parent, we need to do that. God exemplified it himself. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Whatever is born of God. What did it say in the previous scripture we looked at? It said, whoever receives him, he gave the right to become children of God, born of God. If you're a child of God, what does this blessing say? It says, you're going to overcome the world. That means every believer is a world overcomer. Some of us don't believe that and don't live into that as we're called and equipped to do, but you can. And sometimes what we need is other believers reminding us of that. And certainly our kids need someone who's constantly speaking into their lives and saying, follow Jesus, you will overcome the world. I think number 7 flows out of that. Give a legacy. As we speak into our kids' life, the blessing. In the Old Testament, you look at even the blessing of the patriarchs upon their own children is often kind of included sort of a prediction. You know, and sometimes it wasn't a good one. Sometimes it was more of a curse, you know, and you will be a slave to your brothers, or, you know, that kind of stuff. But the patriarchal dads aren't the best examples of a perfect father. I think every single patriarch was dysfunctional as a father, if we actually look at the stories. But our Heavenly Father is a perfect father, and he speaks blessing into us, and he wants to give us a legacy, and he wants us to pass on a legacy to our children and to our spiritual children. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. We're heirs. We're God's kids. We're heirs to the kingdom with Christ. That's a powerful blessing. Isaiah 58:10-12, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. You see the blessing? You see the legacy that he's speaking into us? He says, your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. Raise up the foundations of many generations. This is God's word to us. We're called to give a legacy as dads, as spiritual parents, and not only to our kids. Do you realize that how you are with your children, spiritually or biologically, will not simply be passed down one generation? Because while there's a cycle of abuse, there's also a cycle of blessing. What do you want to pass down to your great, 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 great grandchildren? You shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets to dwell in. Friend, if you're here this morning and this whole Father's Day thing is a little rough because you're going, man, my dad was none of those. Look at this. Look at what it's saying. You shall raise up foundations of many generations and you shall be called the repairer of the breach. God the Father, the great recycler, who through his blessing, all things work together for good. He wants to interrupt the cycle of dysfunction, the cycle of abuse, the cycle of brokenness that exists in your family and in your spiritual heritage. And he wants to do it through you and make you the repairer of the breach. That's powerful. The restorer of streets to dwell in. What will you leave behind to pass on to the next generation? What has been passed on to you? You have a choice to continue the cycle, or you have a choice to break the cycle. God gives us everything we need to break the cycle in Christ Jesus. I'm calling on all of us to be legendary spiritual parents, legendary dads that continue a cycle of blessing to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Will you answer that call, or will you let the cycle of blessing stall? So sometimes you think, well, I'm not carrying on a cycle of abuse, or I'm not carrying on a curse, but are you letting the blessing stall with you? We're called to more than that. So what about you? What is your heavenly, loving Heavenly Father saying to you this morning? And what will you leave behind to pass to the next generation? And what has been passed on to you? Let's bow our heads and just take a moment to hear from the Spirit of God. Is there one scripture, one thought, one idea, one passage that God is laying on your heart and wants you to respond to in obedience? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are my Heavenly Father. You are our perfect Father. And that you desire for us to be legendary dads and legendary spiritual parents. Lord, for those of us who are going, I wish I had that. Lead us to those who would speak into their lives. And there are those who are willing in this room. Lord, for those of us who want to up our game in these areas, we pray that you would give us the ability, that you would be working in our hearts, that you would be leading us and disciplining us and doing all these things in us so that when we do it, it's simply the overflow. We pray this in the precious and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to receive the offering now. Please don't forget to put the connection card in there if you have any response. I love to hear when someone says, oh, that point, that's the one, or here's my next step because of that. Man, that's payday for a sermon. It's not pastor, great job. It's when someone says, this is my next step in response to that sermon. That gets me excited, and I pray like crazy for you in that next step. So tear those off, put them in the offering plate. If you're a guest, don't feel in any way pressured to give. You're certainly welcome to, but this is how we as a church family provide for the ministries that God is calling us to so that we can leave a legacy as a church. While the offering is being received, I'm going to pray for it, and while it's being received, we're going to have a little video, and let's bow our heads right now. Heavenly Father, we pray for these offerings. We pray that you would use them, that you would use them to give life and use them to protect and to provide and to bless and to discipline and to leave a legacy and all these things that you do, because every perfect, good and perfect gift comes down from the Heavenly Father above. And so these good and perfect gifts that you've poured into our lives, we give back to you to use for your kingdom. We pray your blessing upon them this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a look at this video.
Dad, you don't know it right now, but I'm watching you. Watching the things you do. I'm watching the way you treat people. The way you treat me and my mom and my sister. The way you live your life is having a big impact on me. When it's time for me to choose a career and provide for my family, your work ethic will be on my mind. Time you spend with me, even doing simple things, will give me a sense of security. There will be times in my life where I struggle with integrity, and I may be not sure what to do. But I will recall how you stood up for what was right, even if you could have looked the other way. Many of the choices you are making, I will also make. Please don't be afraid to show me your failures, to show me your mistakes. I will learn from them. Dad, are you listening? I'm watching. Watching to see if you really believe what you say about God. I need you to help show me the way. Show me how to live life that isn't safe, but is good. So I'm watching you, Dad, every day. You're teaching me how to live, whether you know it or not.